Good to be with you again tonight. We appreciate everyone's presence. As we said on last night, this is a very important time and portion of this service, and that is the invitation of Christ. And we recognize that it's not man's invitation. It is the invitation of God. It's the Lord Jesus Christ's invitation. And if you're outside of the ark of safety, He certainly wants you to come. If you are not right with God, you can rectify that this very night. The theme of honor, of course, that they studied upstairs is a wonderful theme, and there's a lot of different applications of that. They're dealing with the family. We've been dealing with the family even here, but we've been dealing with marriage, and certainly there should be a lot of honor in marriage. But I believe the passage that they were emphasizing, or that was at least the center of their study, is Ephesians chapter 6. At verse 1 and 2, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that ye may live long in the land." The word honor there is a word that, first of all, we kind of talked about this in our study up here, but this word also means to revere. It's a different word than what we were dealing with. But it carries with it the idea of giving parents the respect that they deserve. It has the little nuance of this particular word honor has to do with the idea of giving value to. And so appreciating. And certainly children need to appreciate their parents. Parents, especially good godly parents, are a blessing to you. And when you obey them, as Paul says here, then of course it is well with you. But all children should give honor to their parents. And we understand that that's true not only with children growing up in the home, but even adult children. We have to honor our parents and take care of them in their time of need as well. Matthew chapter 15 talks about that. And then over in the book of Romans, we find that honor is connected with how we ought to treat one another in the body of Christ. In fact, I love what Paul says here in Romans chapter 12 at verse 9 and 10. He talks about honor, particularly in verse 10. But notice at verse 9, he says, "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil and hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection." And then he says, "Outdo one another in showing honor." And I appreciate, first of all, the teaching there, but I like the ESV translation there, "outdo one another in showing honor." Paul is setting forth a friendly competition. And in fact, Paul does that on a few different occasions in his writing, where he sort of challenges brethren to outdo one another. Can you imagine how wonderful a local church would be if every member in that local church was trying to outdo every other member and showing honor? And then we could extrapolate a little bit, look at that really not just with honor, but in every aspect of our life as Christians, if we were trying to outdo one another and in love and in labor and in all different areas, what a wonderful local church that would be. But trying to outdo one another in honor. We ought to honor one another in the body of Christ. But the greatest application of that, of the idea of honor, and the one that obviously we ought to honor the most, as the songs we just sung suggested, is God. We need to honor God. And sadly, there are many who do not honor God, who don't give Him the kind of reverence that He deserves. In fact, we live in a society today where giving God honor is something that is greatly lacking. It's why this society is in such a moral mess. And I have no aspirations that somehow something's going to sweep across the world and all of a sudden this world is going to be a place where God is receiving honor from the majority of people. The truth of the matter is that is never going to happen. But all we can do is try to influence individuals one by one and trying to get people to honor God. If you're here tonight and you haven't obeyed the gospel, you can begin honoring God by obeying His word and becoming a faithful disciple of Christ, and give God respect through the life that you live. And many people think that they have done that, but they have gotten it wrong. Look over at Matthew chapter 15. You might remember Jesus had something to say about honor there, beginning at verse 7. It's Matthew chapter 15 and at verse 7. It says, "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they do worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" And that is true in a lot of different areas, obviously. There's a lot of people teaching the commandments of men in a lot of different areas religiously. But maybe the saddest of all is God's plan of salvation. There's a lot of people who are teaching that all you have to do to be saved and go to heaven is have faith, mental assent. That's it. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that's all you have to do. And many people believe that the moment you say that Jesus is Lord, or the moment you think in your heart that He's the Son of God, that you're automatically saved. But that's a false doctrine. That's the teachings of men. It's not the teachings of God. Some people say all you have to do is come forward and say a sinner prayer. And usually the preacher will lead you in that, and you just simply repeat after him. And at the end of that prayer, you're a Christian. But that's the doctrine of men, not the doctrine of Christ. Some people say you have to go on a period of probation before you can be a part of their church. Here's the truth of the matter. It's very simple. Mark chapter 16 at verse 16, Jesus simply said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." If you want to be saved tonight, you have to believe that Jesus is that Christ. He's the Son of the living God, that He has the words of eternal life. Fact of the matter is, Jesus is the only one who can save you. He's the solution to the problem of sin. And He's the only solution. There isn't anyone else who has the words of eternal life but Jesus. You have to believe in Him, that He's that Christ, the Son of the living God. What a wonderful Savior He is. He gave up the riches of heaven just so that you and I could go to heaven. He took on a flesh and blood body and then was willing to go all the way to the cross and suffer death, a humiliating, horrific kind of death, just so that we can be cleansed by His blood. No one has ever done as much for you as Jesus Christ. And all He wants from you is to accept Him as His Savior, to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then continue to walk in His Word. And He'll give you a home in heaven after a while. But that word, remember, is you must believe and you must be baptized. It doesn't stop with mere mental assent. You have to be buried in the waters of baptism. Romans chapter 6 and at verse 3 and 4. You're baptized into His death. That's where you contact the blood, figuratively speaking. Your sins won't be washed away by the waters of baptism. They'll be washed away by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can wash away your sins. But that blood is applied, it's appropriated in the waters of baptism. Are you willing to do that tonight? Will you give God honor and obey the gospel before it's too late? And those of us who are Christians, just quickly, we need to continue. After you obey the gospel, most of you are Christians. You've come up out of the waters of baptism. Do you continue to give God the honor that He deserves? Sometimes we fail to do that. In fact, that has plagued the people of God for years, going back to Israel. You might remember a passage that deals with honor in Malachi chapter 1 and at verse 6. This is after, of course, the Israelites came back from captivity. They were forced to go into captivity because of their unfaithfulness, their idolatry, and things of that nature. And it appears as if they got over the idolatry thing, but when they got back, they developed other problems. And God talks about that just a little bit here. Malachi 1 and at verse 6, it says, "A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am father, where is my honor? And if I am master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts, O priest who despise my name." But you say, "How have we despised your name?" And he says, "By offering polluted food upon my altar." But you say, "How have we polluted you?" By saying that the Lord's table may be despised. And the point of it is, when they got back from captivity, God always demanded their best, that their sacrifices be without spot and without blemishes. But they began to offer up sacrifices that had blemishes. They held back the best. And God says, where is my honor? The application to us in the body of Christ today. Of course, we give honor to God just by obeying the gospel. But after that, we have to serve God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. We have to give Him 100%. We need to give Him our best. And I'm sure God sometimes thinks, sitting on His throne, where is my honor? We give Him less than our best. Listen, He gave us His best. He gave us His one and only Son to die on Calvary's cross. We can't ever pay that back. But we can at least give Him our absolute best in service. If not, we're not showing Him honor. If you're doing that, you need to repent of that and start giving Him 100%. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? If you haven't believed and been baptized, why not tonight? The water is ready. You can be baptized in just a few minutes. You can be a new creature in Christ. Old things will be passed away. You can enjoy sweet fellowship with God right now. If you're a child of God and you have fallen short, maybe you haven't been given Him honor or some other problem, difficulty in your life, repent and ask God for forgiveness. Acts chapter 8 teaches us about that. And God will be faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. But don't leave tonight in an undone condition. It's not worth the risk. Come forward as we together stand and sing.